things just don't happen on a Sunday. We don't arrive here and just go, okay, well, let's see what happens, you know, maybe this, that. There's actually a lot of prayer and time that gets taken to try to decipher what is God wanting to do. So I felt like the Lord wanted us to go a certain way this morning, and it's going to be different. And I must say, my heart, as I'm sharing this, my heart is actually feeling really sore. Because I look and I see so many of our folks that are not here. And I don't think for you guys will understand. It's like you prepare dinner for your family, and nobody leaves their room. And it's not my dinner. It's the wedding feast of the Lamb. It's God that prepares He's prepared a meal for our people to eat, and they're going to miss. But I want to say to you, for you, those of you that you are here, get ready to feast on the Lord this morning, because you will receive a message of comfort and encouragement this morning that the Lord has picked for you. So I'm excited, and I'm going to give everything I have for you this morning in the Lord, because I believe that He wants to strengthen and He wants to encourage His people into so much more. So I want us to start. This is a song that maybe some of you guys know. Maybe you've never heard it before. So if I can ask you, you don't have to sing with it. It's not a song of worship, but I want you just to listen to the words and catch the heart of what a friend of mine sang out of a place of brokenness in his own life. He didn't sing this song when things were pumping and he was at the top of his game. He sang the song as he was going into burnout, as he was in a time of reflecting with the Lord. So if we could play that song, please, Janine, and you guys can just close your eyes and just listen to the words, if you would indulge me. I think it's going to be an incredible blessing to us before I start to preach.
When I was younger, I had a wild passion and a violent hunger. I had a heart full of wonder, spent my days beholding you, seeking your face. When I was younger, I had a burning love and a soul on fire. I loved you like a bride, trusted like a child. There was no cost to following you. But since those days, things have changed. Burning heart has lost its flame, but I'm remembering, I'm returning to my first love. You will find no walls in my heart, just an open door. Just an open door for you. You'll find no walls in my heart. Just an open door for you. Just an open door for you. When I was younger, I had a perfume jar and a sweet surrender. Simply wanted to pour my love on you. To be with you was always enough. But since those days, things have changed. This burning heart has lost its flame. But I'm remembering, I'm returning to my first love. You'll find no walls in my heart, just an open door. just an open door for you. You will find no walls in my heart, just an open door for you, just an open door for you. Nothing is hidden, everything exposed. Nothing is hidden before your eyes. No walls in my heart, just an open door for you, just an open door for you.
You will find no walls in my heart, just an open door for you,
just an open door for you.
Father, we come to you this morning as this word has been spoken in the song, with nothing hidden, with no walls in our heart. We want to be open to your spirit this morning. We want to be open to your leading. We want to receive your word with joy and with thanksgiving. Would you anoint me to speak, and would you anoint us to hear what it is that the Spirit is saying? And may we leave this place today forever changed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry, I'm a mess. So it feels like it's been a long time since I've been here. And it has been, actually, because we were away in Namibia. And then we came back. And then there was another person that preached. And then it was the gathering last week. So I'm really excited to be amongst the family again. Amongst all of you that... Yes, we really love you guys so incredibly much. And if you're looking for a title of this preach this morning, it would be much like the song says, there's no walls in our heart. It would be dropping our walls. And I just want to put my timer on here so that I keep you guys within the right time frame so I can make sure you are running with me. But I want to paint us a little picture to start out, and I want you to realize that this is something so beautiful that the Lord has done. So years ago, before Tatum arrived, Chantelle went through a long process over months of preparing the baby room for her. She wasn't born yet. When she was going to be born, she had no ability to be able to recognize and appreciate, but walls were painted. And money was spent on cots and warm blankets, and there was clothing and fluffy toys, and there was all these beautiful things that were prepared for her in advance that she would be able to enjoy as she came into our family. And if I say that to you, does that seem weird? It's not weird, is it? It's pretty acceptable in our culture that you would do something like that, that we would prepare for the arrival of our child. But there's something in us, I think, in the kingdom that struggles with this concept, that God could prepare good things for us in advance, that we should walk in them. Do you know that God has got good things planned for you? It might not be your experience. You might not be experiencing that right now. You might be in a time of extreme squeezing and iron sharpening, and you're in the fire and it feels really difficult, but God has good things planned for you. And if you think back to the analogy I used with Tatum's arrival, she had done nothing to earn it. She had not performed any tasks. She had not started walking. She hadn't even arrived. She was still in Chantal's tummy when preparations were made for her. Time, resources, preparation, the bringing people in to do certain jobs, the purchase of certain things were done in advance. Why? Because we loved her, and we would love her, and we wanted her to come in and experience that love in a really physical way. You know, I want to say to you that love prepares ahead of time. Love anticipates the needs of those that are going to come. And then it tries to prepare for those in advance. And I'm hoping this morning that as I unpack some of the stuff, that you're going to see that there is incredible things that the Lord has prepared for you and me. And hopefully we'll get an opportunity this morning to respond to some of them. So I want to say to you that God has a very intentional plan of preparation for each and every one of us before actually we were even born. And Jesus teaches this to his disciples in John 14, verse 1 to 3, which I want us to read together. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." People of God, I want to say to you this morning, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me, Jesus. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. Is this not a beautiful promise? Is it not a shadow, in a sense, of what we do with the arrival of a child? There is a day coming. There's a day appointed for every single one of us where we will come into his world. We will be born again into glory. And there's a beautiful place that has been delicately and very comprehensively prepared for us in advance. Jesus says, he doesn't just say, I'm going and there's a house for you. There's a place for you. So you can have the little shack in the corner. He says, no, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. And Philip, I'm going and I'm preparing a place for you. And I'm preparing a place for you and for you and for you. This is intentional. It's thought out. It's not haphazard. He knows the needs that we'll have. And he's preparing these things for us in advance. It's incredible. There's no last minute scrambles. You know, Christine just made it in, so I might need to make a plan. No, actually, he's well prepared for your arrival, Christine. May it be a long time still, because we love you and we don't want you going anywhere. But you see, if you look at the start of this, I'm talking about the preparation, but why am I telling it? Because the first thing that Jesus says in that verse, if we can pull it up again, verse 1, is he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Is your heart troubled this morning? Have you come in here with a troubled heart? I want to say to you, as Jesus said to his disciples, trust in God. Trust in Jesus. He's prepared a way for us. He knows that it's going to be incredibly difficult for us on this planet. Often when he's addressing people, he says, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not let your hearts be troubled. This is a consolation of the people. He knows that we're going to face trials and tribulations. To be a born-again, Bible-believing follower of Jesus Christ is the hardest thing you will ever do. If you come here for a prosperity message, I'm sorry, you're in the wrong church. That is not what we promised. Jesus says, in this life, you will have troubles. But be of good joy. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. God has prepared for your trials and your tribulations. He has a way. He has a way out for you. And he has a plan prepared for you in advance that you will get there one day. And I felt like this morning the Lord wanted to say to us, like he said to the disciples, look up. Behold him. Strengthen yourself in Jesus. And know that this is a fleeting world. And one day we go to the place that he's prepared for us. That is very encouraging. I want to go to Psalm 23, verse 5. I love this, and I'm a visual person, so I'm going to take you onto the visual of what I saw as I read this. And it says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And as I read this, I had this picture of Jesus. We had a wedding in this venue last week, Saturday. It was beautiful. There was such care taken to every single little detail, lights and colors, and it was beautiful. It was prepared. And I had this picture of the Lord setting out this table. And around the table, my enemies were raging, and the enemies weren't people. I want to let you know, our battle is not flesh and blood. I didn't see a faces, but I saw the demonic raging and accusing and pointing and saying, but he, but you, but they. And he was the accuser of the brethren, was the father of the lies, and he was raging, and it was horrible. And in the midst of it, the eyes of my father, not even considering them, they didn't even feature, and he was going about his business of preparing this table for me. And suddenly what happened is as he looked at me and he called me to his table, and I sat. The noise of the enemy had disappeared. The accusations had ceased. The lies had stopped. And I looked at the one that I loved. He prepared a table. He prepared a table for me in the midst of those that hate me and want to destroy me. And in the midst of hate and destruction, I could find peace. And you can find peace too. Because I don't believe this is just when we find heaven one day. I believe that we as the church of Christ can be in the midst of the raging storm and we can find Jesus and we can sleep. We can do this because he has prepared a way for us. In Psalm 139 verse 16 it says, all the days, there we go, sorry. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Has anybody got fear of the future? What does tomorrow look like? What happens if my wife dies or my husband dies? What happens, God? And he says, all your days are written in your book before one of them has come to be. There is a plan for you. There is a path for you. The Lord has taken time to write your story. We need never fear what is to come because we know the one that holds the future. All we need to try and do is be obedient in the present. If we stay on his path, the one that he's prepared for us, we can have great comfort in the God that never sleeps or slumbers. I want to encourage you, if you're looking for some material to read this week in your quiet time, please go and read Psalm 139. It's a beautiful psalm. If you're struggling this morning with any kind of identity, if you're struggling with fear, if you're struggling with anxiety, please go and read Psalm 139. It's going to bless you. It's a beautiful psalm. The problem is that even as I'm saying this to some of you, there's something in you that's rejecting it. You're pushing back. And I want to tell you that what that is the walls. It's the walls that Merv sang about. There's no walls in my heart, just an open, whatever. Open door for you. No walls, just open doors. And the thing is, life takes us to places. Our bodies are engineered to protect us. We have neural passages that are shortcutted. They're short-circuited to prevent us fight or flight or freeze. They're innate things that are built into us to keep us alive. But even animals have those. Animals can't. They can't reason. It's I run or I die. But we are not those. And I believe that this morning the Lord is, in a sense, he's laying out a table for us this morning, for us to come and eat from, to receive from him at our table. But to eat at his table, we have to come out of the wall. We have to step out. You see, Ephesians 2 verse 10 tells us this. This is such an encouraging word that I love this. And it says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Do you understand what that means? That means that if we are Christ's workmanship, Bertus is a woodworker. He works with his hands. He takes something that isn't and he makes it. He's a workman. Jesus takes something. You, Anne, and you, Christelle, and you, Maureen. And he makes you into something. He crafts you into something. And once he's created you, he says, now go. Because Anthony, I have good works prepared for you. Not only that they prepared, but I want you to walk in them. You see, because I can prepare you your favorite meal. And if you don't eat, it's all for nothing. So I want to say to us that this morning, if you hear and you are hearing me, but there's this thing in you that's going, I don't know if I can believe that. I don't know that God's got good things for me. I don't know that God has prepared good things for me. I want to say to you, it's possible that there's a wall that's built up in your heart. And these walls can have various ways of coming into our lives. And initially, they are there to protect us. How many of us have a wall around our home? Yeah, we want to take relevant and appropriate. We live in a country where there's crime. So we simply have to do things that are prudent. So we create walls, barriers between us and our enemies and those that want to come and steal, kill, and destroy. That's a reasonable thing to do. But it's not a reasonable thing to do to put a heart to wall around your heart. Because the very same wall that we think is going to keep people out and keep us safe within doesn't allow God to come in. Because as we reject his people and as we push back on people, we actually reject him. And slowly but surely our hearts become calloused. And we don't realize that the wall is there anymore. And I want to ask us this morning, can we consider possibly that there could be a wall that this morning that the Lord wants to bring down in your heart? So that we can walk into the plans that he's prepared for us in advance. So what's some of the examples of how we can be hurt and the walls that we can put up? Somebody's hurt us or rejected us or embarrassed us or belittled us or made us feel less than. And what happens? Offense takes place and I create a barrier. I put a wall. There's now a boundary between myself and King. Kim no longer has access into my life. You see, we live in a culture called cancel culture. In the old days, we fixed what was broken. Now we simply replace. You've broken my trust, Ollie. You've hurt me. You don't understand me. You don't like me. I'm done with you. Have a great life. If I even get that far. Wall. And people. Now everybody else that comes in has always got to walk in the shadow of Ollie's offense. Because as soon as I do something that looks or smells or tastes like what he did, you're the same and I cut you too. And you look back over your life and it's a series of broken relationships. There's a wall. And I believe the Lord wants to bring that down. We face disappointment or unanswered prayer. Has anybody here experienced an unanswered prayer? You're in good company. You're in good company. But when that unanswered prayer costs us something, finance, relationship, maybe the life of somebody that we loved and were trusting God to heal them, and he didn't, And we demand to understand. And we are not God. We don't get to understand. His ways are perfect. His ways are not our ways, he says in his word. We have no right to understand. But what happens as soon as we don't understand? Wall. I won't pray anymore. I won't come. I'm not going to trust God for that. All my life I've struggled with finances. He'll never break through. I can trust him for salvation, but I can't trust him for finance. I've been there personally. I have been there. We put a wall up again. Someone has taught us, we've been taught as children, that we're only able to receive love when we do things well. We have to earn the love of people, so we have to earn the love of God. And if you have failed enough, we stop. I'm not even going to try. Has anybody been there? Amen. I'm going to gym this year. I'm going to change this body. It's going to be amazing. Woo! 3 weeks in. Cost me too much. We give up. I haven't earned what I wanted in the time that I wanted it. And we bring this into the kingdom of God. And what we hear on Sunday morning when Sean says he's grieved because there's people in the congregation that aren't here, we hear control. He's trying to control us, man. I don't have to answer to him. If I don't want to come on a Sunday, I'll stay at home. Stay at home. If you come to this church for me or any of the leaders in this church, please, by all means, stay at home. You have my full permission. But if you're here for Christ, be here for him. Be here for him. He died for you. I didn't. The time may come when I'm out of the church and going somewhere else to another congregation. Christ will still be here. And he still wants you to be here. And I'm preaching to the converted, but this needs to be heard. These walls come up and I go, well, I'm not performing well, so I can't come into his presence. I can't pray because last week I was nasty to my wife. And now the Lord says that if I'm not good to her and I don't live with her in understanding, my prayers are hindered, so I'm just not going to pray. Wall. I want to tell you that if you've got a wall in your heart, I just want to release you. Can I release you? Do you want to be released? Anybody want freedom this morning? Yeah. There we go. Hallelujah. Let me tell you about some others that have been putting up walls since Genesis 3. Since the very beginning, Adam and Eve, they put the first wall up. And you know what it was made of? Fig leaves. They were naked and unashamed in front of the Lord and each other. I know that seems like a weird concept, but it shouldn't really be. That was how they were created. There was no shame in it. Sin enters the world, and what do? They put a wall of fig leaves, and they try to hide. And that wall was built of fear and shame. What is my God going to think of me? I've done what he's told me not to do. Surely he's going to punish me. Surely it's wrath. Surely it's hell. Let me hide myself and my form, not only from God, but from each other. Do you see how quickly it escalated? The wall went from a wall with God to a wall with you. Adam and Eve were the first wall builders. Let's just go one generation. Let's talk about a man named Cain, who decides to unalive his brother. And then what does it say? What does he do? It says that this is in Genesis 4 verse 9 and then 4 verse 16. In case you guys want to check me out, I want to let you know I'm not preaching out of my own. This is Bible. It's in yours as well. Genesis 4 verse 9 and Genesis 4 verse 16. And it says that Cain chose to avoid responsibility after killing Abel, and it says that he went away from the presence of the Lord. He ran. I often wonder to myself, what would have happened if he'd stayed? What would have happened if he'd thrown himself at the mercy of God and said, Lord, I'm so sorry, I realize what I've done is bad. I've realized that I have killed what you created. I have sinned against you. I have no reason for you to forgive me, but if you would forgive me, God, I know that breakthrough can come. And that wall could have gone there. The wall of unforgiveness unforgiveness and fear of repentance. I won't repent. I can't repent. It's a wall. 1 Samuel 10, verse 21 to 22. The people of God are being ruled by God, and they go, we don't want that anymore. I want to be able to look at the man that's giving me the instructions. So God reluctantly gives them a king, and he says, choose a king. And they go, we'll have that guy. And where do they find him? Do you know where Saul was? Hiding. He's hiding away behind a wall of baggage. What was his wall? Insecurity. Fear. I can't be the king. There's no faith attached to it. It was self-effort. It was confidence in me and my ability. These are walls that we have in our lives, my friends. Jonah 1 verse 3. He gets the call of God to save a nation. God in his loving kindness goes, those people are destined for destruction. I want you to go and get them saved. And he goes, no, I'm going to those guys. I don't like them. For many of us, it's like going to preach the gospel to an Aussie supporter this morning. Run the other way. And he runs from God. And it literally almost shipwrecks his life. You see, there's a wall that came up. And the wall was disobedience and rebellion. Disobedience and rebellion. I won't do what I'm told. I'll do what I want to do. You see, these are walls that are through the Bible. I'm not even preaching to you. If all these men and women were here today, they would be the ones that I was preaching to. You guys just get to listen for free. But there are walls in each of our hearts. And I want to share with you this. This is my beautiful consolation. And I want to take you into my quiet time because I felt like the Lord showed me something this week I've never seen before. So I'm going to take you there. In Luke 15, verse 20, I'll give you the story in a moment. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arm around him, and kissed him. Please leave that up for me, Janine. So if you don't know what's happening here, this is the story for you youngsters, for the three of you, Casey and Taylor and Tatum. Let me tell you the story. You see, this man has a very rich, well-off, well-to-do father who has lots of stuff. And in those days, everything that was the father's would become the children's when the father died. So what actually happens in the story is the son goes to the dad and says, Dad, I actually don't want you. I want your stuff. So can you sell what you have and give me my portion? What he's actually saying to the father is, I wish you were dead. Because he would inherit when father dies. So he goes, Dad, I wish you were dead. He then takes all of the stuff. And he goes and he squanders it all. He spends it on Fortnite battle passes and McDonald's and watching movies and popcorn. And he does all these different things. And worse than you can possibly think of, because you guys are still young and pure. And then he ends up completely ruined with nothing. He has a job feeding pigs. Can you imagine what it would feel like? That's your job. Every morning you wake up, Casey, and you need to go and feed pigs. And you actually live with the pigs. And you actually get to the point where you're so jealous of the pigs because they eat better than you do. Do you think it's possible that this young man could have had some walls in his heart? I'm pretty sure there were a whole bunch. Here's some of them. Walls of guilt. I've actually just blasphemed against my father. I've told him that he means less to me than the things he can give me. I wish you were dead, Dad. And then he gets what he wants and he runs and he squanders it all. Can you imagine the guilt and the shame walls in this man's heart? How deep-seated they must have been. Can you imagine the shame? Knowing that one day these eyes are going, hey, doesn't that, imagine you've got a really, really wealthy man and you see his child and his child's on the side of the street, stinky and smelling and feeding pigs. You go, isn't that there's boy? Isn't it that guy? What are you doing, Lighty? How did you get here? Can you imagine the shame he must have felt? Then, think about this. Can you imagine the abandonment and blame shifting and anger that would have come? Put yourself in his position. Why didn't my dad say no? He's the adult. Surely if he loved me, he would have said, no, you're not ready to do it. So now there's a wall of blame shifting. It's not my fault, it's his fault. He should have done something. He should have said no. Wall. And here's the thing that the Lord revealed to me this week. You know, this story of the prodigal son is a beautiful story. Because of that last little bit there, filled with compassion and anger. But I want to ask you this. If that son had stayed behind his wall, do you think there would have been the opportunity for the father to show compassion? You see, we love to talk about the father. We don't think about the son. You see, the son realized that he was guilty, shameful, abandoned, blame-shifting, and angry. He realized all of those things. All of those walls were in his heart. And he comes to the realization that if I run to my father, maybe, just maybe, he'll take me back and make me a servant. I don't even have to be his son, just a servant. And the Bible says that while he was a way off, the father saw him filled with compassion, ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son's currency was arm dropping the wall. And the reward for that was compassion and love. And I want to say to you that perhaps today is an opportunity for you to break through your wall so that you can experience compassion and love. Jeremiah 31 verse 3. This is a beautiful encouragement. The Lord appeared to us in the past. I want you to imagine you are standing here. This is the word that God is speaking to you, Edwell, and to you, Innocent, and to you, Akorna. And he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, never ending. It doesn't have a start. It doesn't have an end. It can never be taken away. I have an everlasting love for you, and I am drawing you. Get out of the walls. Drop your walls. Come to me because I want to show you loving kindness. This is the word of God. This is not my clever thinking. God is saying to you this morning, drop your walls. Let go of it so that I can meet you with loving kindness. And I feel like this morning the Lord really wants to break us free. You see, the walls we've put up to keep danger out is keeping him out too. And the walls that we've used to keep us safe are keeping us captive. And I feel like the Lord in his loving kindness is drawing you out. He's saying, come on, man. Let's be done with this. Can I ask you, would you mind to stand with me, please? I have such a deep, deep, deep sense that it is top of the Lord's priorities for us this morning that we don't leave the same way we arrived. Maybe it's 10 walls in your heart. I believe the Lord says, well, I'd like to make it 9 at the very least. But perhaps for some of you, there can be breakthrough this morning into things you've never experienced. This is not a work of cleverness. This is not a work of eloquence or good speaking. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. So I want to ask you, if you would close your eyes with me, wherever you are, just close your eyes. And I want to pray for us. And then I want to ask you, would you ask the Lord to show you one wall in your heart that he wants to draw you out of, that he wants you to take a sledgehammer and smash down this morning? Maybe it's a wall of guilt or shame. Maybe it's a wall of rejection. Maybe it's the wall of offense and unforgiveness. Whatever it may be, I feel like the Lord is saying there is grace for you today to find freedom from that.